podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you decided to join us and hope you enjoyed this week's message.
The book of 2 Timothy was written by Paul when he was in Rome shortly before his death. Paul writes asking Timothy to visit to bring books and writing supplies. He also writes to encourage Timothy to remain steadfast in the faith. I would like to read to you from chapters 1, verses 11 through 14. God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. That is why I'm suffering here in prison. But I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one whom I've trusted, and I'm sure that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until the day of his return. Hold on to that pattern of wholesome teaching. You've learned from me a pattern shaped by faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. Paul surrendered all to God, his body, his soul, his spirit, and most importantly, his will. He trusted in the love of God to take care of him no matter what the circumstances. Paul's example to Timothy is also our example here today. Communion table is a sign of God's great love for us and Jesus Christ. We commit to this love and we declare to the world the faith that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ when we take the bread and the cup. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come before this table reminded of that great price that was paid for us and that great love. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, that Christ went to that cross so willingly. And we're grateful, Heavenly Father, that his tomb was empty on the third day. Father, I just ask you be with each and every one of us as we take the bread and the cup and a reminder of that great love. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning. It is good to see you this morning. Glad that you are here. So I've been here for about a month part-time and learned that I'm really not that different from Bob. We're kind of the same in a way. So this is what you got. I'm sorry. So you thought you were getting rid of him, but you still got him. No, anyway, it's been great. I've had enjoyed the last couple weeks getting to know people. Could you do me a favor? Is if I see you in public, please tell me who you are. Because I don't want people going away saying, well, that preacher saw me and he didn't say a word to me. Because I don't remember everybody's faces. There's a lot of faces to remember. So if you see me, dart to me and say, hey, it's me. I'm like, all right, that would be great. I really would appreciate it. Heard a story of a new barber that was in town. And a police officer went to get his hair cut with the barber and got done. And the policeman was like, man, he goes, you do a great job. He goes, how much do I owe you? And he goes, man, you don't owe me a thing. He said, you protect our people. You keep us safe. It's on the house. Don't worry about it. The next morning, the barber comes to his store, and he sees on his doorstep two tickets to the policeman's ball. That day, a doctor comes in, gets his hair cut, and he goes, man, he goes, you do a great job. He goes, how much do I owe you? He goes, you don't owe me anything. He says, you keep our people well. You keep them, you know, fit. You know, it's on the house. Don't worry about it. And he comes to work the next day, and there's a basket of fruit sitting on his step as he goes into his barbershop. That day, a preacher comes in. He gets his hair cut, and he says, man, he goes, this is the best haircut I ever had. He goes, this must be a lot. How much do I owe you? He goes, you don't owe me anything. He goes, you keep people out of hell. You save people. He goes, it's on the house. Don't worry about it. And so the barber's curious. He goes, well, I've gotten tickets. I've gotten fruit. He goes, what is the preacher going to give me? He's expecting this. And when he gets to his store, he walks up, and there's three preachers sitting on his step. That's one of my favorite jokes. I like that one. If you have your Bible, open up to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to start with verse 21. Matthew 14, verse 21. 21 says this, the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, beside women and children. So let's just stop there for a moment. Before we jump into our passage today of what we're going to talk about, we see Jesus in the passage before is feeding 5,000 people. But when we see what Matthew says, he goes, it's just not 5,000 people, it's women and children. So there was over 5,000 people that Jesus fed that day, and he's showing people who he is and what he can do, which is very interesting because when we go through the rest of this passage, you're going to say, why was Peter even questioning anything? Verse 22, Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land because it was buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day that you've given us. God, and as we listen to this message today, as we hear from your word, let us understand the trust that we need to have in you, the obedience that we need to take in you. God, you love us, you watch out for us, you care for us. Let us return that back to you, in trusting in you, in your guidance, in your direction, and just how you just care for us. Lord, thank you for your son. In his name we pray, amen. Jesus calls us to do things that we are not able to do. He calls us to do things that we're not able to do. And when he calls us to do impossible things, like step out of a boat and into the water and walk on the water, are we going to be able to obey him? Are we going to be able to trust him? Or are we going to sit safely in our boat under the pretense of not trusting Jesus? I want to help you make a faith journey today. I want us to jump on this boat together. I want to help point you to the one that you can trust, that you can hold on to, so that you can get out of the boat and walk with him today. Do you want to walk with Jesus? Do you want to trust him? Do you want to do things that maybe you didn't think you could do? Well, you're not going to be able to do it until you step out of your comfort zone. You step out of the boat. Imagine Peter. Imagine him retelling this story. Could you imagine the excitement in his eyes, the desire to let people know what happened to him? Think about it for a moment. He's the only person other than Jesus to walk on water. This had to be an exciting story to tell. And if you heard that story, you might have thought to yourself, or be tempted to think, because he started sinking, that he was a failure. Because he was distracted by the waves and the winds, and he started to sink, that he was a failure. But you see, Peter wasn't the failure. It was the other 11 who sat in the boat, who did not trust, who did not obey, and decided to stay there. Listen to this. If you want the advantages of walking on the water, you got to step out of the boat. You got to step out of the boat. You see, the problem is fear keeps us in the boat. Fear keeps us there. God wants us to step out. He wants us to take those chances. He wants us to get in our boat of faith to accomplish things for a higher purpose for Him. But sometimes we just stay in the boat. So I want us today to focus on one word. I want us to focus on this word immediately. Immediately. Immediately is used three times in this passage. And when you hear the word immediately, what do you think of? It has to be done right now. Can I tell you something? I knew when my dad wanted something done immediately. You could hear it in his voice, and you had to do it right now. Jesus uses this word here because he understands the importance of the situations that they are in. He is wanting his disciples, and he wants us to understand the lesson of faith. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. You see, the first thing we got to understand is that Jesus and God, they offer us an immediate invitation. An immediate invitation. Jesus is inviting his disciples to get into the boat. This boat will begin their faith journey. And you see, we got to understand, Jesus invites us to get into that boat as well. Not a physical boat, but he invites us to get on a boat of faith, to trust him, to trust in his guidance, to take chances. You see, stepping out of the boat requires more faith than staying in the boat. It takes more faith. And if we are going to accomplish what God wants us to do as individuals and as a church, we're going to have to step out of that boat and trust God to guide. Will we always be successful? Probably not. Will there be failure? Probably so. But we're never going to know until we step out of that boat. Dwight Moody says there are three kinds of faith. There's a struggling faith, like a man in deep water, desperately swimming. Now, I'm going to give you a secret today about myself. I don't know how to swim. I've never learned how to swim. And, you know, people have tried to do that. I had friends who tried to teach me how to swim, and they did it in such a loving and kind way, like, you know, standing in the deep end and just pushing you into the water. It didn't work. And so there are people that have that type of faith, a struggling faith, where they're just swimming and they're looking and they're just struggling. And then you have the clinging faith, like a man hanging on the side of a boat. And that's what I would used to do in a swimming pool. I would, you know, be at the high school camp and I would act like I knew what I was doing. I would just stay on the side of the pool and hang out there. And, you know, people had no clue. And so I would just kind of be there, and I'd be just kind of clinging on, barely. And then there is a resting faith, like a man safely within the boat, but willing to leave when called to do something greater. Oh, I got to go back. Faith moves us from just talking about doing something to taking action. Do we understand that? Faith moves us from just talking about it, because we can talk all day long of what we want to do, but until we take action, until we step out of the boat, it's not going to happen. And that action is evidenced by our lifestyle and what we do individually and what we do as a church. You see, when we take Jesus' invitation to get out of the boat of faith, he will not set you up to fail. We might struggle along the way. We might put our trust in him, but we're not going to fail, because even if we just try, that's not failure. You see, the others never stepped out of the boat. They never trusted. If he calls you, he will give you the resources that you need. Let me tell you, we look throughout the Bible, we see it. We see people who go out on faith, but God supplied their needs. David, and you might think, well, David, he just had a stone and a slingshot. Did not God provide that? It was there, and he was able to defeat Goliath. Then you have Moses and his staff. And I can't help but think that the resources that are in this church today for us to be all that God wants us to be as a church, it is available. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about talent. I'm talking about gifts that God has given each and every one of us. The resources are here for us to step out of our boat and make an impact on this community. And I know, talking with Bob, you all have already started doing that. Just think of the possibilities that we will have as a church, God's church, in our community. You see, the invitation that Jesus gives you means you will have to face your fears. You'll have to face things that maybe you didn't think you had to face before. So let me ask you a question this morning. What is that fear in your life that you are going to face? That fear that keeps you from stepping out of that boat and being used by God? Is it the fear of rejection? I was talking to Mandy this week and telling her how do we grow the church? What do we need to do? I said, the easiest way to grow the church is for our people to invite other people. That's the easiest way. We can have all the best programs, the best speakers, the best worship, the best everything, but unless you personally ask someone to come, it's not going to happen. Let me tell you about Luke. I love my son. And it's just great to watch him grow up and to see him actually listen to you. I know that's kind of weird, isn't it, for your kids to listen to you? But as many of you know and the elders know, we told Luke he can continue to go to Greenford because he has friends there and stuff. Last week we were sitting in church and Holly and I got this text and we were like, why is he texting us? He knows we're in church and he was all excited. And as we were looking at the text, it says, Mom, Dad, guess what? I invited someone to church and they said they would come. He was excited. And I texted him back and said, told you so. No, I didn't. Now, it just so happens that this person he invited was a girl. Anyway, we won't go there. But he was excited. And that's the excitement I want you to have as well. What would have happened if she said no? He might have been disappointed. But I said, you're never going to know until you ask the question. And what's the worst thing that can happen? They say no. But what's the best thing that can happen? They say yes. And guess what? She's going again today with him. You never know. So get away from that fear of rejection. Fear of what people might think of you. Who cares what people think of you? There's only one person that I care that thinks about me, and that is God. I don't care what people think about me. I mean, I've been a UK my fan my whole life. I know what people think of me. All right? It's not that big a deal. Just worry about what God thinks of. Get away from that fear of what people may think of you. Because if you're doing God's will, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Maybe you're fearful the worst will happen to you. Your own thoughts of fear that can hold you back. You need to get away from those fearful situations. You see, Jesus is not in the business of canceling fearful situations. Notice in the story, he didn't stop the waves, but he's in the business of canceling the fear that's in your heart for you to step out of the boat. Did you know something? I didn't know this till I looked this up the other day. Did you know that the phrase fear not is found in the Bible 365 times? How many days of the year do we have? 365. One for every day of the year. We don't need to fear. We have the most powerful person in our life that can get us over these fears. Overcoming fear is the cost of growth. The invitation will come when you least expect it. Holly's favorite verse, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not what? Harm you. but plans to give you a hope and a future. Jesus gives the invitation. Will you accept it? Next, we need to have immediate courage. Matthew says, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, the Bible says they were terrified. Duh. You know, there probably wasn't too many people walking on water back then, nor today. So I understand why they were terrified. Jesus saw their fear, and he said, take courage. You know the thing I like about this passage, the thing I like most about Jesus here, is Jesus is not only telling them, take courage, but he's telling us to take courage. We may not see him walking on the water, but Jesus is saying to us today, take courage. Look at what I've done. See how I've taken care of them. I will take care of you as well. We can be afraid today just as much as the disciples were. So let me ask you a question this morning. What is your boat? What is your boat? It is probably what makes you afraid that God might ask you to do. You see, folks, security and safety are not what we are called to. We are called to step out. I love Peter's response. He says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come on the water. I mean, could you imagine telling Jesus that? If it's you, just tell me to come on the water. And I bet Peter was standing there and Jesus said, come. I'm sure that's not what he was expecting. I'm sure he probably started going, okay. You want me to step out of this boat and come to you? While Peter asked to come to the Savior, I believe each man in that boat could have walked out on the water as well. But the difference between him and the others is he had courage. He had courage. Peter says no to fear, but he says yes to God. He wants to trust God. But even if you are unsure about the invitation, take courage because you will be blessed. Think about it. No one else has done this, and he's blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ Jesus as Lord, and you'll do wonderful things. David assured us this in his psalm, to take courage that we should have in Jesus many years before. Listen to what it says. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from where? The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord what? Watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from what? All harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going now and forevermore. Take courage this morning, my friend. The Lord is watching over you. The next thing we got to understand with immediately is there's an immediate rescue. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When we fail in life, when we begin to doubt if Jesus is there, he reaches out. He reaches out and he says, why do you doubt? He tells us that he is there. And when I look at this story, one thing jumps out to me. Even though Peter was unsure that it was Jesus on the water, when he realized that it was Jesus, Peter wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to be with Jesus. And Jesus was not in the boat. So Peter was going to do what he needed to do to get to where Jesus was. When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, he questioned, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. It didn't matter what the obstacles were, whether it was land or water. Peter wanted to be where Jesus was. He wanted to be with the Lord. Listen to this. Write this down. I love this phrase. Walking on the water was Jesus' gift to Peter, but getting out of the boat was Peter's gift to Jesus. Walking on the water was Jesus' gift to Peter, but getting out of the boat was Peter's gift to Jesus. He's saying, I trust you, Lord. I trust you. So let me ask you a question this morning. What is your boat? Maybe there's a young couple here, and if they had more faith, they would put God at the top of their budget and trust him with their finances instead of at the bottom. Maybe that's their boat. Maybe there's someone here today who wants to get involved with ministry, working with our children or our youth or our caring hands or leading a Bible study or teaching and maybe even starting a ministry. Maybe that's your boat and you need to step out of it. Maybe there's a single person who is now living in a relationship that's not godly, but it's scary to be alone, and you're wondering, if I step out of my boat and seek purity, will God give me strength? Maybe there's a senior citizen that's living a quiet, desperation life, and they're afraid to volunteer for a ministry, that they'll be rejected, that they'll be told that they're not able to do it. Friends, that's not going to happen here. Get out of your boat and help. You see, we all have a boat. We all have a boat, and we all have to get out of it a little bit each and every day. And your boat may be the fear of taking the first steps of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Won't you step out of your boat today and take that step and put your faith and trust in a God who will never fail you? And a God who loves you. You see, Jesus never calls us to stay in the boat. He calls us to step out, to take those chances. He gave the invitation. He said, come. You notice Jesus didn't make a long request. He just said, Peter, come. Come to me. There were those with reservations, and they didn't listen, and they stayed in the boat. They had their opportunity, but Peter wanted to be where Jesus was. Peter had the courage. He wanted to be with Jesus, and so he got out of the boat. Do you want to be with Jesus this morning? Do you want to be with him? I think the same is true for us as it was for Peter back then. He offers us the invitation to step out and see what Jesus will do. And I can tell you this morning, Jesus will do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And that might mean stepping out of the boat and walking on the water. But we'll never know until we step out. We'll never know. So I want to encourage you today to step out of your boat. We're going to sing a song of invitation. And we want you to take that first step if Jesus is not Lord of your life. And say, I want him to be part of my life. I want him to lead. I want him to guide. I want to take my life in a different direction. And if you want to do that today, we will come up, we'll take your confession, we'll get you baptized, and we'll teach you and guide you and direct you in the ways that God wants you to go so that you can experience what it's like to step out of a boat and follow and come to Jesus. Or maybe you're here today and you've already made that decision, but you've kind of slacked away a little bit and Jesus, you know, is there, but you're really not taking that step like you used to. And you're just saying to yourself, I want to start over. I want to be able to walk with Jesus. Man, we want to pray for you and lift you up. Or if you just want to come and be part of a church that's moving forward, that's helping in this community. You know what you've all done in the past. Think what we can do in the future. And you want to be a part of this church body. We encourage you today to come and talk to us this morning. As we stand and sing our song of invitation this morning, whatever decision you need to make, let us know. As we lift Jesus up in praise, let's stand and sing our song of invitation.
341, we'll use the first stanza. Have you any room for Jesus?
Great to see you this morning. Glad again that you were here. Go out and tell people who Jesus is. Amen. All right, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for your son. Thank you for the ability to have him in our lives so that we can step out of our comfort zone, step out of our boats, and let people know who he is. Let us just ask that simple question. Do you know Jesus? Do you want to come to church? Let's meet with people this week. God, thank you for each and every one that's here today. Those who are not able to be with us, we lift them up in prayer. As they are healing or sick, we just pray that you be with them. God, be with us this week. Continue to watch over and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to join us in person, we have a traditional service at 8:45 and a contemporary service at 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Check our Facebook page for evening adult and youth service times throughout the week.